This passage is, of course, known as the Great Commission. It is Jesus commissioning his disciples before he ascends into heaven to sit at the right hand of God after his resurrection from the dead. And the disciples would have represented this new community of the people of God that Jesus had called together and established. They were, in effect, the church at that time, and so Jesus commissions them to go and to make disciples. That is the mission of the church. That's what our Lord, our Savior, the head of the church, Jesus, has called the church to be doing, to be focused on, making more disciples of Jesus Christ. And as you see, key part of making disciples of Jesus Christ in this passage is to baptize. Go therefore, verse 19, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So let's first address the who question. Who is to be baptized? Well, again, it's pretty clear from what Jesus says here that only disciples of Jesus Christ are to be baptized. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts tells us a story of the early church and how they responded to this great commission that they were given here. And the pattern that we see in the book of Acts over and over again is that the apostles would proclaim the word of God. They'd proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, and then some who heard the message would believe that message, and those that believed would be baptized. That's why here at Stanton Evangelical Free Church, we only baptize believers. We only baptize disciples, those who believe the word of God about Jesus, that he is the Christ, that he is the Lord and Savior and the Son of God, and who we also know are truly following Christ. That is, they don't just say they believe, but they are truly living out their faith in how they live. Now, other churches will do that differently, and that's between them and God, but this is how we do it here, as we see from God's word, that's how we are taught to do it. And that takes us to the next part of this question, that is, who should do the baptizing? Another way to ask that question is, who identifies whether or not someone really is a disciple? And again, from what we see in these verses, Jesus instructs the apostles to baptize the new disciples. And at that time, the apostles were, in effect, the church. They were the leading representatives of this new community of people that Christ was saving and gathering together. Therefore, it is the church who ought to do the baptizing. In our setting then, when a pastor baptizes a believer, the pastor is representing the local church when he does that. We don't just baptize anyone who wants to be baptized. We only baptize those who we believe are ready to be baptized. When we baptize someone, we are communicating that we believe the person is a growing disciple of Jesus, that we know them, and we have observed that they truly are following Christ. Baptism shouldn't take place at any place and at any time and by anyone. They ought to be done before the church, with the church gathered, to provide the church with opportunity to witness the baptism and therefore give their confirmation that yes, this is a disciple of Jesus. Now, the question, why? Why should disciples be baptized? Well, the main reason follows what I was just saying in answer to the question of who should baptize disciples. The main reason we see from Matthew 28 for why is that baptism is a way set out by Christ to identify those who are truly his disciples. Since the very beginning, the church has used baptism as the primary way to identify those who are truly disciples from those who are not. So baptism is the way for a believer to publicly profess to the local church and to the world and to all the principalities and powers in the heavenly realms who are looking on that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is my Savior and Lord, and I pledge my allegiance to Him. I identify myself with Him and with His people. Another big reason for why is because, well, our Lord commands it. This is a command here in Matthew 28, verse 19. He is giving the command to the church, but it implies that it is a command for the disciple as well to be baptized by the church. That's why we believe that every true Christian will desire to be baptized. They will want to publicly profess their faith in Christ because it honors Him, it glorifies Him, and He has commanded it. And so disciples will follow their Lord's command. That's what disciples do. So then, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you someone who follows the Lord Jesus? He is your Lord and He is your Savior. If the answer to that question for you is yes, well then, the next question is, does your church family know you are? Have you come forward to publicly profess your faith in Christ before your church family, that you are a disciple, that you are following Christ as your Savior and Lord? If you haven't, well then you need to talk with your pastor about that. You know, we'd be happy to plan another baptism service here, maybe on a warmer day. And we could do this again. This doesn't only have to happen just one Sunday out of the year. Now, the final question is of course, what? We've come to the what question. Just what is baptism? Well, in our church's statement of faith, it is referred to as an ordinance. That is something that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has ordained that the church always practice, along with communion or the Lord's table. So it is a practice given to the church by Christ in order to strengthen and build up our faith in Him. One phrase that I found especially helpful to understand the church ordinances is they are an outward expression of an inward reality. An outward expression of an inward reality. It is a truth that we can touch. The word baptism means immersion. To be baptized means to be immersed. That is why we baptize, by actually getting into the water and going all the way under the water, immersing disciples under the water. So baptism then is something we can see, something we can touch, something we can hear, smell, and even taste. And it acts out and displays the spiritual reality of a disciple who has spiritually died to their old way of life and has been immersed into Christ or united with Christ by faith and has become a new creation. That's what baptism represents and shows us. All right. Now I'm going to ask our baptismal candidates to come forward and sit up here, Justin and Chelsea. I guess Chelsea's there, and here's Justin. So Justin, come on up.